The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon from Cana; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus: "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan woman. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. A dad and his 3-year-old son were grocery shopping, but the boy was just having a horrible day. He was just acting horribly, throwing one tantrum after another. Start screaming, "I want this, I want this," and when his dad gave him what he pointed to, then he'll hold it for a few seconds and throw it down on the floor. Then start screaming again. And if the cart was too close to one of the shelves, then he'll push the merchandise on the shelf. And while this is going on, the dad was heard saying, "Okay, be patient, Michael. We'll go home soon, Michael. Don't overreact, Michael. Stay calm, Michael." And this was another lady who was also shopping down the aisle, who was seeing and hearing everything. And when she got close to the dad, she turned to him and said, "Sir, I just want to tell you, your patience with your son, Michael, is amazing. You're a wonderful dad." And the man looked at her and said, "Well, thank you, ma'am, but he's not Michael, he's Tommy. I am Michael." A lot of times when we see things and hear things, yet we misread the situation. Just like in today's gospel. You know, we look at the world today and we say, "Oh, people are not religious, they don't believe in God, they don't want to come to church. It's kind of on them." But Jesus telling us today, just like told his disciples back then, the fields are ready for harvest, but the laborers are few. The problem is not what's out there. The problem is that we Christians, we who follow Jesus, are not willing to jump into the labor market and go and gather his harvest. That's the problem today. We have a shortage of laborers. And Jesus is reminding us, you are those laborers, I'm calling you. People today, yes, maybe they're not spiritual or religious at this point, but they're all looking for something more in life. They're all searching for the truth. They're searching for someone or something they can trust. And it's up to us to lead them to Christ. That's how we gather the harvest. Another thing we misread in today's gospel is it says, well, Jesus sent the disciples and their name, and today we call them apostles. So say, well, he's not talking to me, I'm not an apostle, so obviously that doesn't apply to me. That's, you know, the bishops, they are the successors of the apostles, and they delegate the priests. This is Father Albert's job. But let's look at those disciples. You know, obviously at the time this happened, they were not known as apostles. But what made them stand out from everyone else who was following Jesus? They knew Jesus on a personal level. They were with him. They heard what he said. They asked him questions. They answered his questions. They saw his miracles. They left behind some of their daily lives, daily works, daily responsibilities to be with him. That's why Jesus chose them. They were committed to following Jesus. They were open to listen to him, to experience him. And that's when today we talk about having a personal relationship with Christ. That's what we mean. Do you really know Jesus, or you know about Jesus? Do you take the time to sit down and talk to Jesus like they did? To read his words in the gospel, that's the same words that he spoke to them. To think about what he's saying, what does that mean to you? What kind of vision, what kind of kingdom is he projecting and inviting us to be part of? Are you willing to make him a priority in your life, just like they did? Some of them leaving behind their boats, some of them leaving behind their family as they followed Jesus. What are you willing to give up to follow Christ, to be his disciple? All of us are called to be his disciples. At baptism, when we're baptized, we become children of God. We become members of God's family, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and we all are given that same mission to save souls, to gather the harvest for the Lord. Are we reading it right? Are we saying yes to it? Another thing we might misread, it says, well, yeah, but Father, but he gave them power to cure the sick, to heal lepers, to raise the dead. I don't have that power. See, a lot of times, again, we just make the Bible, it's all about this world, all about material things. Jesus did not come just to heal the sick, because obviously he didn't heal all the sick, not to cure all lepers either. And today, thanks be to God for medicine, for advances in science, we can do that through other ways. We don't need miracles to heal the sick. Jesus came not for our physical illness. He came for our spiritual illness, our selfishness, our ego, putting ourselves ahead of everyone else, wanting to be in control. That's what Jesus came to cure. He came to cure everything that separated people from God and from their community. You know, the sick at the time of Jesus, the lepers, obviously the dead, they were people separated from the community. The sick, the lepers, because the community was afraid, it's contagious, they might catch the disease. So they have to be outside. They're considered unclean. They couldn't go and worship in the temple. So they were separated from God. Jesus came to reconcile us with God the Father and with one another. He came to bring those people in and say, God loves you just like he loves everyone else. Just because you're sick or because you're this way or that way, that doesn't mean you're not part of God's family. He came to bridge that separation that separates us from the love of God and loving one another. He came to reconcile us, to convene us, to bring us back. Yes, today we cannot heal individually, heal the sick or cure lepers. But there's a lot of division and separation in life, in the world, in our own personal lives. Maybe we're estranged from a loved one, our son or daughter or parent, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a good friend. Jesus today is calling us to cure that relationship, to bring that person back into life in our own lives, rather than cancel them out or keep them away. Maybe their fathers who are estranged from their children, or children estranged from their fathers. Jesus reminds us today that he died for all of us as sinners. Not because we deserve it. He came to be the minister to reconcile us to God the Father. And we're called what we received without cost to give to others, not because they're right or because I'm right and they're wrong and I'm not gonna forgive them, But because despite that I'm right, I'm going to reach out to them to reconcile with them, to bring healing to this broken relationship that's hurting me as much as them. There is a story told about this father and son in Madrid, Spain. The son was a teenager and just, you know, he was going through that rebellious stage, and they always will get fights with his father. He's not following the rules. And one day said, the father said to him, if you want to live under my roof, you have to follow my rules. And the son said, well, okay, I can fix this. I'm no longer living under your roof, and walked out. The father and, you know, mother thought, okay, let's give him a couple of days. He probably with some friends to cool down. He'll come back. Well, a couple of days went by, a week went by, a couple of weeks went by. They started calling their family and friends asking, have you seen Paco? His name was Paco. And people were saying, no, we haven't seen him. Few months passed by, and now the parents are very worried. So the dad took an ad in the local paper, and it said, dear Paco, all is forgiven. I love you. Come home. I'll be in the square in front of the newspaper office building at 12 next Tuesday. Come and let's return home together. Your dad. Well, next Tuesday came, 12 o'clock came, and the father was standing there in front of the newspaper office building. And in that square, there were 800 teenagers called Paco who were looking for reconciliation. There is a lot of healing needed in this world. Healing that medication cannot cure, that medicine cannot cure. But you and I can cure because we receive that same healing from Jesus, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to reach out and mend those broken relationships. That's what Jesus wants us to do today as his disciples. Are you willing to be his laborer in the field? Are you willing to be his messenger of hope and mercy, of healing? We have a lot of needs for laborers here at Holy Family. All our ministries, from liturgical ministries to working with the children, teenagers, adults, sharing our faith with them, visiting those who are homebound and sick and elderly, to walk with them, to help them in their loneliness and isolation. There is many opportunities for labor people to do work here in the fields of the Lord. Today, Jesus is issuing to all of us that invitation. Just imagine if each one of us could take on a ministry that fit their time, their talent, their schedules. Just think of that, how we will transform not just Holy Family, but whole of South Pasadena. You know, Jesus started with, maybe about 100 disciples at his resurrection and ascension. By Pentecost, we know from, you know, the Acts of the Apostles that at one point, 3,000 people believed on the first day as they listened to Peter. Scholar says that by the end of the first century, there was 500,000 Christians. That's where they're still under persecution by the Romans. There were no priests and bishops yet, not formally. They were all people, lay people, men and women, who responded to Jesus' call to become his laborers. On this Father's Day, as fathers, are we laboring to make sure that our children know Jesus Christ? We don't have to go to foreign countries or strange peoples. Our own family, our children. Do we want them to make sure they were raised from the dead to live for all eternity with Christ? Do we bring them to Mass so they can receive the body of Christ that we heard last Sunday? Unless we eat his body, there is no life in us. Do we bring them to Jesus? Simple ways. Today is Father's Day. As you gather with your family, maybe say, well, let's not forget our Heavenly Father. Let's say a prayer for him, for us being able to be together, for our blessings. Simple way is taking time during the week to sit down with your family and talk about Jesus. Pray together. How's your week going? You know, we talk to our children about their sports, their schools, their friends. Do we ask them about God and where are they in the relationship with Jesus? Did they meet Jesus sometime during this week? Do they need the help of Christ for something they're going through? It's not rocket science. It's very simple. But we have to be intentional and realize that our role, our mission, the greatest gift we can give to our children, to someone else, is the gift of eternal life, a gift that Jesus has given us and is the only one who can give it to someone else.